We begin at verse number 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He didn't come to condemn the world because the world was already condemned from the beginning. And so he came not to condemn, but he came to seek and to save those who were lost. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, he that is condemned already is condemned because he refuses to believe in and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did for the saving of the soul. Man insists on having something to do in order to earn a acceptance of God. There's nothing sinful man can do in order to do that. That's why Jesus, who was God the Son, was born of a virgin and came as a man to fulfill the law and to be the sacrifice, pay the payment or the penalty for the sins of man. No other man could do that, because no other man would be sinless, because his father was a sinner, and were sin natures passed on from the father. But Jesus' father was God, and he was sinless, a sinless, perfect individual. He was made to order for the task at hand, and that was to take our place and pay our penalty, that we'd not have to pay it, perishing eternally in a terrible place called hell, that he made clear that he didn't prepare hell for man, but he prepared it for the devil and his angels. And man goes there in spite of God. He's not willing, the Bible says, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. And so we see that Jesus here is talking to a man by the name of Nicodemus. He was a religious man, a righteous man, a good man, a moral man. He was a teacher of the Jews, so forth and so on, high standing as far as mankind was concerned. But there was something missing in his life. He was religious, but there was still something missing. And what was missing was Jesus Christ in his heart through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God in repentance and faith. And Jesus here is trying to get across to him that he needs to have Christ as his Savior, that he cannot depend upon himself, but the only thing that he can do is to believe and trust in what Jesus did. And that's where we're at today. If you're going to be saved, you're going to do that. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The heart of the Bible, the very heart of the Word of God, revealing every verse, every chapter in the Bible reveals to us Jesus Christ. He said and made it clear in John 5:39, he says, the scriptures are they which testify of me. The scripture, by the way, Jesus not in the Old Testament, that verse right there tells you he was in the Old Testament, because the only Bible they had at that time was, the only scripture they had, the Old Testament. And he says, search them, because they are they which testify of me. Who? What testifies of Jesus? The Old Testament. Every verse, every chapter is there to present Jesus Christ, to present the love that he had, to present the sacrifice and suffering that he went through on our behalf. Now there's really where it's at. Why was it necessary for Jesus to be lifted up and God to give his only begotten Son? Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world," that man was Adam, of course, "and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now, wait a minute. I thought it was because of Adam. This verse tells us it's because of our own sin. It's because of our own sin. Because our refusing to believe in and trust Jesus Christ to save our soul. Refusing to wholeheartedly accept the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. That's the reality. But no, man wants to exalt himself. He doesn't want to bring himself down and admit he's to blame. He's not wanting to take the responsibility of him being lost and going to hell. He wants to blame it on God. Why, God sends people to hell. They send themselves to hell for refusing to believe in and trust Jesus Christ. For rejecting the great love that he has. That's why they go there. That's why men suffer. It's not because of the Lord. Because of their own doing. Refusing to believe in, refusing to trust, refusing to submit to God, their creator, their maker. And by the way, he creates every one of us in our mother's womb. I thought it was just that. Well, no, he creates us all in our mother's womb. And he creates us special and particular so that he can have special and particular ones to look to him and come to him to love him and return the love that he has for them. But anyway, he had to give his son because of sin. Look at Romans 3:10. Romans 3:10 says, "As it is written, there is none." Let me get it here. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." None righteous. No, not. Now, wait a minute. I thought I was special. I wanted to keep thinking I was special. But none of us are. That's what you say. No, that's what God says. Right here. He says there's none. There's none. We going to believe it? If we don't, we're responsible because we chose not to. And he gave us every evidence that he could give us. Even nature declares the glory of God, for it shows his handiwork day and the night. The seasons show the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All through nature is the testimony. But sinful man doesn't want to accept it, because if he does, he has to take responsibility and be accountable for his own doing, for his own sin. But no, we want to blame it on somebody else. Our parents, society, government, this, that, or something else. Anybody or anything but me. I mean, after all, look at who I am. I'm just next to perfect. There's no man even close to being perfect. There's no man that has even really started being perfect. But he can be made perfect by Jesus Christ when he'll believe in and trust and let him perform the new birth. As he told Nicodemus, you must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. You must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every man since Adam has sinned and come short of the glory of God. How's that? When he was young and innocent, Jesus' blood covered him. He died, go to heaven. But when he come to the age to where he understood the difference between good and evil, then he become accountable for himself. And when he did, the Spirit of God drew him. And when he refused to yield and submit to the Spirit of God and come to him and let him save his soul or perform the new birth, then it was his sin. Not Adam's. It was his sin that made him accountable. It was his sin that caused him to die and go to hell. Before that, Jesus prepared it. These little children, if they die right now, they go to heaven and be with the Lord. But when they come to that age, and the Spirit draws them, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why it was necessary for Jesus to be lifted up on that cruel cross and for God to give his only begotten Son. Look at Romans 6 and 23. Romans 6, 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The results of sin is death. That death is that second death of Revelation over there. That eternal torment, that eternal existence, that eternal suffering in this place called hell. He didn't intend man to go there. He created for the devil and his angels, but not for man. But yet man's going to go there because he refuses to believe in and trust in Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, that eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now there it is. And you know what? Every one of us have that choice. We've had it or we haven't. If you had it, you've repented of your sins and by faith trusted Christ as your Savior. And then you have a choice. You can choose to submit and live your life for him, or you can choose to live it for yourself. Whichever way, you suffer the eternal consequences. Look at the book of Romans, chapter 5, beginning with verse number 19. Romans 5 and 19. Let's go 18. "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." There you go. There you go. Look at John chapter 1, verse 12. John, the first chapter, in verse 12. "Man's condemned, but Jesus redeemed all of those who would believe." He's redeemed all of those who would believe. Look at 1 and 12, he says, "But as many as received him," that's Jesus, "to them gave he power to become the sons of God." You see, he did it. We couldn't. They couldn't. He did. "Even to them that believe on his name." Now, there's the condition. There's the condition. This nails it down. He gave power for them to become the sons of God to them that believe on his name. Amen. Then look at Acts 13, verse number 39. Acts chapter 13, verse number 39. "And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." In other words, you couldn't be justified by your good deeds and your righteous acts. That's the law of Moses. But listen, those that believe are justified from all things, not on the merit of what they can do or did, but on the merit of what Jesus did. That's the message that the world is missing. That's the message that's missing in many of the Lord's churches. Because you see, if you do good and be good and you outrun the devil, you're going to be all right. That's even among the Lord's people, maybe among men in this church. But that's altogether wrong. The merits of salvation, eternal life, rests upon Jesus and what he did, not upon what man might or might not do. Then Romans chapter 3 and verse number 22. Romans 3 and verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. Me and Jesus don't have our own thing going. You and Jesus don't have your own thing going. This verse tells us so. If we're going to repent of our sins by faith, trust Christ, our Savior, we're all going to come the same way. There's no difference. We're all sinners. There's no difference in the sight of eyes of God. No degrees of sin in the eyes of God. All in the same condition. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no difference. We must trust in and depend on Jesus for the saving of the soul. Jesus paid the full penalty. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes ye were healed. How do we live under righteousness? By him. He obtained us the ability to live righteously. He obtained the ability for us to be right with God. Not through what we've done, but through what he did. Romans 10. Or rather, 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 3, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. All about Christ, what he did. His righteousness is placed to our credit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. The Bible says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Righteousness is placed on us through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 10 and verse 4. Romans chapter 10, verse number 4. The Bible says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. In other words, he imputes unto us his righteousness. The law couldn't do that. No matter how hard man tried to keep it, he could not keep the law. No matter how hard he tried to fulfill, he could not do it. That's why Jesus had to come and do it. We need to confess him as our Savior once that we're saved. Romans 10 and verse 9. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Then Matthew 10 and verse number 32. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. We're to confess. We're to make manifest. You know what? The greatest confession of our trusting in Jesus Christ is water baptism. Water baptism showing forth that we have put aside that old man. We're going to bury him. And we're going to raise to walk in newness of life. We're going to be buried as Christ was buried and raised again to a new life. To a new life. A new way of living. Then, we need to seek to reach others. Look at John 20, verse number 21. John 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them, again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Of course, he's speaking to those that were saved, scripturally baptized, members of his New Testament church. And he said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And in Luke 19, in verse 10, the Father sent him to seek and to save that which was lost. That's mankind. We are sent to seek and to save that which is lost. We need to press onward, outward, and upward. Look at Philippians 3, verse number 14. Philippians chapter 3, and verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse number 8, 2 Timothy 4, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Not those that dread it, not those that are fearful, not those that are ashamed because they're going to stand before him ashamed. But those that look for his appearing. Those that desire his appearing. Then, Revelation 4. That crown. We should strive for a crown. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunder and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, the round about the throne, were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts, and each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of the eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Those 24 elders later on here in the book of Revelation, it identifies who they are. And they are those that were redeemed out of every kindred, every tongue, and every nation. Those are the faithful who obtained a crown. And I hope to be among those someday. And I hope I have a crown. Not for my benefit, not for someone else's, but for Jesus' sake, that I might let him know that I'm thankful that he did what it was impossible for me to do in order to redeem me from sin. He's worthy of all honor and all glory. He is worthy. And worthy again is the Lamb, because he's the Lamb that was sacrificed for our sins. Let's stand. We're going to have an invitation. Come to Jesus. Repent of your sins and by faith trust him as Savior. Come. Confess your sin. It's robbing you of the joy of your salvation. And you're enjoying that more abundant life. Come. And look to him. Because he's where our help is. He's where our hope is. What should we sing?
Enter the inside cover.
Amen. Thank you for your attendance and attention.